While one door is closing, another door is opening. It is my job to go find that door that's opening. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. While one door is closing, another door is opening. It's my job to go find that door. I had a couple of letters this morning from a very charming lady from down in New Zealand. And she's telling me all about her life and all about the experiences that she's having. And she was telling me how every time she turns around, another door is opening. And then sometimes she wants that door open and sometimes she doesn't. But every time she turns around, another door is opening and another opportunity is facing her to make a decision as to what she'd like to do. Now, that lady is alert and aware to the doors that are opening. She is alert and aware to all of the opportunities that come her way. In fact, some of them didn't come true, the doors that came open. Like, for instance, she thought she was pregnant, and it wasn't true. But what she found out was that all the people involved were just as fabulous as could be, which she had dreamed about, wished about, hoped about, but now it was realized. Funny how those things happen. One door opening, showing us a way to fulfill ourselves and reveal ourselves. It's very exciting. Have you had a door open in your life that surprised you? Did you have a door that closed in your life that surprised you? Did you think that there was a wonderful opportunity and then all of a sudden, shazam, it was closed and it was gone and it wasn't yours anymore? You couldn't do a thing about it. And what was your thought? Were you saying, oh, darn it, oh, I was so ready for that wonderful opportunity? Well, what things like that have happened? I was talking to one of our students and they went in and had work done on their teeth. And the work done on their teeth was very good, except the dentist didn't get all of the poison out of the lower level of the tooth. And so they put an implant on top of it, and they did all this and did all that. But meanwhile, the poison was still down there. They hadn't gotten the last little bit of it. They hadn't done a really deep research, which is the whole reason for doing the implant in the first place. And now she has to go back and have it done over again. She has to go back and have them dig in there and take out the poisoned area and make sure that they get all of the little virus that might be in there causing the thing to be poisonous and take it out. Now, she might think that, oh dear, this is unfortunate. It should have been done right when it was done. And that is true. It should have been done right when it was done. But there will be some beautiful thing coming out of this that she would never have guessed. There will be some beautiful response, some beautiful other doors that will open that she had never even dreamed of for herself. And you just watch. You'll see how these things will be revealed. Now, she'd say, well, I'd just soon not go through that again, you know. I'd just soon not go into that problem. Well, the problem won't be so bad because now they know right where the problem is. And before it was on a broader scope, now it's just on a particular scope. And they'll clean it up in no time, and you just watch. You just watch. There will be miracles coming out of this, miracles that she never dreamed. Because, you see, we are so frightened. We say, oh, I don't want an operation. And I talked to a lady the other day. She was from Germany, and she was saying she didn't want an operation. She didn't want an operation. And I said, well, why have you gotten yourself into the condition where an operation is necessary? And she says, well, I've been working with everybody else, and I've been helping everybody else, and helping everybody else to do their things, but it hasn't been working for them. And so, because you had your nose in everybody else's business, and everybody else was not paying attention to the principle and putting the program in motion, you also didn't put it in motion. What do you mean I didn't put it in motion? Well, if you had put it in motion, you wouldn't have been thinking about an operation. you wouldn't have been thinking about this person's unsuccessful operation or this person's successful operation, but necessary, even though you were treating for her wholeness and perfection. But I said, wherever you're going to have your consciousness, that's where your life is going to be. If you're going to pay attention to other people's operations and other people's bad teeth and other people's whatever, I hate naming these things, but whatever they are, you're going to have them. Maybe not the same exact thing, but you're going to have them because you are in that area of not divine right action. You're in that area of, well, let's use whatever techniques are necessary. Now, the world is a thought world. We know that. The world is made up of thought. The world is completely controlled by thought, by ours, or whoever chooses to take control. And whatever thoughts they have is what they experience. Now, what do you want to experience? Do you want to experience independent wealth? Well, then stop thinking you want to experience independent wealth. Stop wishing you could experience independent wealth. Stop dreaming about independent wealth. Accept it that it's yours already, and then watch it happen. But as long as you're going to say you haven't got it, you're not going to have it, because it's always outside of you. It's always on tomorrow, 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 like Little Orphan Annie's favorite song, Tomorrow. And yes, tomorrow. What a tragic life Little Orphan Annie had. She had Daddy Warbucks, and she had all this wealth all around her, and she was cast off between this and that, and she was all in all sorts of adventures and all sorts of problems, and yet they had lots of money in the family, and she was loved by her Daddy Warbucks and all these things. But what happened? Nothing, because the writer of the story had to make adventures. And so he had her getting into adventures. And in getting into the adventures, they were going over to all sorts of neat little things that they were going into. And as they went into these neat little things, they wrote stories about them. And that's the way it went. So you see, this is part of the game. They want the game. They want Little Orphan Annie to have adventures. And the adventures are not always pleasant. They're sometimes tough. And that's what the writer wants it to be. And now, what do you want for your life? Do you want to have adventures that are, press 9, do you have adventures that are tough or that you want or not? Now, what do you want? What sort of life do you want? What sort of experience do you want? You have to determine what it is and then go for it. If you're going to dwell on sickness, you'll have sickness. If you're going to dwell on health, you'll have health. If you're going to dwell on poverty, you'll have poverty. If you dwell on abundance, you'll have abundance. This is just a principle. When one door is closing, another door is opening, and it's my job to find that opening door. And I don't find that opening door by backtracking to the closing door. I find that opening door only by going forth to the opening door. Think on these things. They're pretty terrific. They're pretty wonderful. They're pretty powerful. And they do work. And have a very lovely, lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.